This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Donald Trump has announced that he will head to Puerto Rico next Tuesday to survey the devastation from Hurricane Maria. The storm was the worst to hit the island in nearly 90 years and has left behind huge areas with no running water, electricity, or cell phone service. Reports are emerging that Puerto Rico is on the brink of a humanitarian catastrophe. Trump had been silent on the hurricane damage suffered by Puerto Rico until pressure on his administration forced him to make a statement. This is some of what he had to say.
The mayor of San Juan was very generous and very nice this morning, was thanking us for the great job we've done with FEMA, that we really have. We've worked very, very hard in Puerto Rico. It's very tough because it's an island. In Texas, we can ship the trucks right out there, and, you know, we can do, we've gotten A-pluses on Texas and on Florida, and we will also on Puerto Rico. But the difference is this is an island sitting in the middle of an ocean, and it's a big ocean. It's a very big ocean. And we're doing a really good job.
That was President Trump speaking to the press this week about what a great job his administration is apparently doing in Puerto Rico after the damage from Hurricane Maria. Puerto Rico was already on the brink of economic collapse before the storm hit. Compared to the impacts of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, the damage from Maria has received relatively little media or government attention. My guest is Rosa Clemente, a community organizer active with Black Lives Matter. She's a freelance journalist and was the 2008 Green Party vice presidential candidate, currently a doctoral candidate in the W.E.B. Du Bois Department of Afro-American Studies at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and she's also a news correspondent for this show. Welcome back, Rosa.
Thank you, Sonali.
So before we get to the government response or lack thereof, let's focus on what has happened inside Puerto Rico. And I understand you have family there. What is your understanding of the extent of the damage?
I mean, from everything we've heard and what we've seen with some good reporting coming out of there and a lot of pictures is that the entire island has been touched. Most of it decimated by Hurricane Maria, already had been hit hard by Hurricane Irma. But Hurricane Maria, I think what happens is a lot of people think of the big city, San Juan, and don't realize so many of the smaller communities, either in the mountains or in the El Yunque, where the rainforest is area, or as we would call as Puerto Ricans, El Campo. And bridges have collapsed. People are trapped after over a week, probably in houses. And this is probably the worst natural disaster, as well as precipitated by man-made greed, that has ever hit the island.
Let's talk about what Trump said. First of all, it took him so long to even acknowledge the disaster in Puerto Rico. And then he used his comments to not only bring up the fact that Puerto Rico has a, quote, massive debt to the U.S., but congratulated himself on the FEMA response, complained about the fact that because Puerto Rico is an island, it's harder to get aid there. What do you make of this president's response?
I didn't hear what he just said in what you played, but I don't need to hear to know that this is Trump's Katrina times 1,000. There is nothing that he says that I'm willing to believe, and everything he says, I think, just enrages Puerto Ricans in the diaspora like me and should be enraging everyone who lives in this country. I have a hard time bringing up this, saying a lot that we are American citizens, but we are. We are American citizens being treated like second-class citizens. The fact that he would even bring up the debt and Wall Street, when anyone who follows Puerto Rico should have a clear understanding at this point that the reason we were in an economic crisis is because of the crisis of colonialism. And you think of other disasters where, or let's think about not other disasters, but people should think about when America goes to war or goes to invade a nation, how they have every available resource to do so. But when it comes to saving a nation and saving 3.5 million American citizens on an island, that not only did it take them 5 days to even acknowledge what is happening in Puerto Rico, that he brings up the debt, as well as him and his cabinet and the Republican Party is refusing to send a disaster aid package to the Congress until 2 weeks from now. In 2 weeks, what's going to be happening is a lot of people are going to die, be dead, and there's going to be a lot of people in Puerto Rico in the midst of death. And that's what's going to happen. Puerto Ricans right now have no access to fresh water. If you're not near San Juan, you cannot get to things that are being sent from people all over the world. There's no distribution mechanism. They're not doing any airdrops. People who rely on insulin or dialysis, there's no electricity, there's no refrigeration. And because of the Jones Act, which the Congress or the president via executive order could suspend, will not allow any ship into the port of San Juan unless it's a U.S. ship.
Let's talk about the Jones Act. Can you give a little bit of history about that act and why it is impacting the ability of aid to arrive there?
Yeah, well, the Jones Act was a law that was passed in the mid-1920s. And what it really does, it says that this colony, the Puerto Rico or Commonwealth, cannot trade with anyone except for the United States. That's essentially what the Jones Act has done. So what that means is ships from Mexico, from doctors from Cuba, oil shipments that could come from Venezuela, and all the Caribbean nations that are literally on deck, ready to send not just aid, but to send actual human people capacity, send federal disaster people that do this type of work, are not allowed to disembark in Puerto Rico. So if Mexico wants to send aid, it has to go to Florida first, then get permission from the United States government to then go on to Puerto Rico and dock.
Wow.
So not only is the United States government and Trump giving Puerto Rico a big middle finger, they're not allowing any foreign nation or any nation, excuse me, to provide us aid. And that's unconscionable. We are beyond a crisis point in Puerto Rico. I really want people to imagine people who live in smaller states, maybe Maine, New Hampshire, or let's say you live in a smaller city, what your life would be like if you didn't have electricity now for one entire week, but let alone possibly 6 months to a year. And then there is some relief, you know, in a big city and you cannot get to that. And I don't think people in this country, including progressives and left and radical and liberals, are taking this situation as serious as it is.
I mean, if the government is preventing other nations from directly aiding Puerto Rico, and if it is saying it will only approve an aid package 2 weeks after the hurricane has hit, essentially this government is resigning Puerto Rico on its own. It's basically saying we have abandoned Puerto Rico. But that is part of a pattern, right? Going all the way back to the colonial relationship between mainland US and Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you're a colony. And that's what happens when the most important thing to Trump and his people are that Puerto Rico keeps paying its debt. That's what happens when we have a governor who has done well in this crisis, but is a Republican who also for the last 2 years has been paying the debt, as opposed to fixing the electrical grid, as opposed to letting workers, electrical workers work overtime, who has been closing schools, who, you know, the other thing about Puerto Rico is Puerto Rico is an island that has many, what are they called? Superfunds. There's sites that are so environmentally toxic that they cause devastation on a regular day. The EPA has said the environmental pollutants and the environmental crisis that Puerto Rico has been in for years was enough to have that the EPA has nobody on the ground. So on top of everything happening, the water's contaminated and people are drinking water because they're trying to survive. There are bodies floating from a cemetery in Lares, Puerto Rico, in full view, from cemeteries that have overflowed. There are dead animals everywhere. And the hurricane and its wind ripped off and destroyed trees and foliage, you know, and there are people waiting in line 4 to 6 hours just to get one shot of insulin. And I think those lines will grow. And as the resources become scarce in parts of Puerto Rico that cannot get to San Juan or cannot get to distribution centers, what's going to start to happen, I think, within the next 48 hours is panic, full-on panic. Puerto Rican people are resilient people. But at this moment, our resiliency is not what is going to be the only thing that saves us. Everybody has to step up at this point in any way they know how. Or if you don't know how, contact someone who's Puerto Rican who can tell you how to step up at this moment. But we have to bring the full force of who we are as organizers and activists on the weight of this government to do the right thing. And the first thing they need to do is release the disaster aid package. The second thing they need to do is get ships as well as floating hospitals to San Juan immediately. And third, they need to start doing massive airdrops for people to have at least food and clean water and even portable solar kits where they could potentially begin to communicate. That's the other thing. The communication is almost non-existent. The whole island is without electricity and the communication does not exist.
I understand that something like 1,300 out of 1,600 cell towers are out of operation.
Yeah, and also realizing that many people in Puerto Rico, 52% of the island was already under poverty level. Right. And as someone who covered Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath, when I went down to New Orleans and the areas affected by the levee breach and the hurricane, we weren't talking about millions of people in New Orleans. And look at what that slow response did, how many people died, how many people were never able to come back. You know, and
so the scale of what's happening in Puerto Rico eclipses what happened in New Orleans with Katrina.
It eclipses it. It's right what Naomi Klein has said about disaster capitalism, where people are waiting to take advantage of the island. Airlines are charging $1,000 or $1,200 just to fly out of Puerto Rico. It's a crisis of epic proportions that we've probably never seen in this country. And unfortunately, because Puerto Ricans have always been regulated to second-class citizenship, I even wonder how many Americans know that this is your fellow American citizens right now while Trump is tweeting about the NFL.
Yeah. Rosa, are there efforts that you are aware of U.S.-based aid organizations arranging some kind of convoys, either by air or by sea to Puerto Rico, that people could hook into? Because, you know, we can pressure the Trump administration, but we have to be realistic about what this administration is and its callousness. And in the meantime, the Americans who deeply want to express their solidarity with Puerto Ricans and their fellow citizens, do they have any opportunities to directly contribute to reputable aid organizations?
That is not the main problem, right? People are giving and people are connecting with many, many organizations. The problem is that, remember, because of the Jones Act, even if we wanted to come with convoys and ships, we would have to get permission even the United States government.
Even U.S.-based organizations would have to get permission?
U.S.-based organizations will have to wait to get permission to go there. And then, you know, the same thing with airdrops, right? Because we're not an independent nation, so we fall under whatever United States maritime law and air law is. So it's not that people in this country particularly aren't helping. There's so many organizations that are accepting donations and receiving much, much help. It's how do we get the stuff there? How does it then get distributed to the people that are in most need when your whole entire infrastructure has fallen apart?
Wow. And then the only thing that Trump has said on Twitter about Puerto Rico, in fact, let's just go through it because it's really important to express. He has spent so much time tweeting about the NFL. He had three tweets about Puerto Rico. This is what he said. Texas and Florida are doing great, but Puerto Rico, which was already suffering from broken infrastructure and massive debt, is in deep trouble. Its old electrical grid, which was in terrible shape, was devastated. Much of the island was destroyed with billions of dollars owed to Wall Street and the banks, which sadly must be dealt with. Food, water, and medical are top priorities, dash, and doing well, hashtag FEMA. If you just go by what Trump says, the debt, quote, debt to Wall Street is much more important, but FEMA is doing really well getting food and medical aid and water to Puerto Rico. I mean, that's basically the impression that he's giving his followers.
He's a soulless human being. He has no empathy. He does not care. Puerto Rico, because we're a colony, can't even file for bankruptcy. Meanwhile, the president was able to file bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy, three times in his life to start over. And honestly, I don't understand why there's not more of an uproar from the Democrats right now. Again, like this is 3.5 million human beings that in a couple of days, if relief the way it has to get there and be provided is not provided, we're going to see massive amounts of deaths that could surpass Hurricane Hugo in the early 1920s where 3,000 people died. But that was also in the 1920s. When we didn't have satellites or drones or all the mechanisms that can literally invade a nation need to be brought now to supply Puerto Rico with every means, by any means necessary. And we have a president who shows by his tweets that he could care less. I mean, I honestly wonder if he even knew that Puerto Rico is part of America in that way until someone told them. I wouldn't be surprised. But regardless, you know, of American citizenship, we should always be in a position to help humanity. But because we are American citizens, why are we being treated less than anybody was in Houston or Florida? It's shameful, it's heartbreaking, and at this point, the main thing we need people to do is to call Congress and get on them right now to make that aid package happen. I don't think a visit from Trump does anything but makes him look like he even cares about a people that he clearly has never cared for and will never care for.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Rosa, for joining us today, and good luck to your family members. I understand you're trying to get to Puerto Rico. We'll certainly try to stay in touch with you about that. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest is Rosa Clemente, community organizer active with Black Lives Matter. She's also a freelance journalist and was the 2008 Green Party vice presidential candidate. Currently, she's a doctoral candidate in the W.E.B. Du Bois Department of Afro-American Studies at UMass Amherst, and she's our news correspondent. We've been discussing Hurricane Maria's devastation to Puerto Rico and the lack of U.S. government response. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.